There's a rose in Bethlehem with a beauty quite divine, perfect in this world of sin. On this silent holy night, there's a fragrance much like hope that it sends upon the wind, reaching out to every soul from the lowly manger's crib. Oh, Rose of Bethlehem, how lovely, pure and sweet, born to glorify the Father, born to wear the thorns for me. There's a rose in Bethlehem, colored red like mercy's blood. 'Tis the flower of our faith, 'tis the blossom of God's love. Though its bloom is fresh with youth, surely what will be he knows. For a tear of morning dew is rolling down the rose. Jesus, Rose of Bethlehem, how lovely, pure and sweet, born to glorify the Father, born to wear the thorns for me. Jesus, Rose of Bethlehem, how lovely, pure and sweet, born to glorify the Father, born to wear the thorns for me. Born to glorify the Father, born to wear the thorns for me. Jesus, Rose of Bethlehem.
Amen. Thank you for that. I appreciate it. Get your Bibles, if you would, and turn to Matthew chapter 2 this morning, please. Again, thank you for being here this Sunday. Thank you for all the family that's joining us. I would want to start calling people out and thank you for joining us. And it's so good to see you. Hope to catch you before you leave. Matthew chapter 2. And as you find that, if you would stand to your feet as we read the Word of God this morning, we're going to read Matthew 2, verse 1 through 11. Matthew 2. And we'll read verse 1 through 11, and I'll read this as you follow along silently in your Bibles, if you would, please. Matthew 2, and verse number 1, the Bible says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor, and that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them again to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star, which they saw in the east, went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this blessed Sunday morning that we can gather together around your word to hear you speak to hearts. And Lord, that is truly our desire. We're not here to waste time because there's nothing else to do. Lord, we came to hear from you today. Please speak through your word, speak through this preacher today, and speak to hearts. Move. Again, if there's anyone that does not know Christ as their Savior, would they come to him today? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. In Matthew chapter 2, we see the story here of the wise men as they come from the east, the Bible says. They must have traveled hundreds and hundreds of miles. We're not exactly sure where they came from, but believed to be from the land of Persia. And they came for hundreds of miles. They weren't taking a speed train or a plane or probably not even a fast camel to get there. It must have taken them months. The Bible says that they saw the star, and as they followed it to Jerusalem, and they came to Herod, which was the king at that time. Can you imagine coming to the king and saying, "Where is the king of the Jews?" How threatened he must have been. And if you know much about Herod the Great here, as is mentioned, he was a cruel and a wicked ruler, that he would even have his own wife and three of his children killed. And to come to him and say, "Where is the king of the Jews?" I bet he would have thought, "Well, you're right here, bow down and worship." But they were not looking for that king. They were looking for the real king. And as they came to Herod and they say, "Where is he?" And it startled Herod. It must have caught him by surprise. And he asked those around him and said, "Where is he?" And even those there in Jerusalem knew where Jesus had been born. They went back to prophecy that was quoted here in verse number 6. And it says, "And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not thou the least among the princes of Judah? For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel." Jesus Christ the Savior was there. He was not a baby now. I know that many times we put the wise men at the manger scene with the nativity. He was a young child at this time, maybe believed to be up to 2 years old now. But they came to worship, and it startled him, and they were all troubled, the Bible says. They were troubled to know that the Savior was there. That goes to show their relationship with the Savior. And Herod demanded to go and find where this young child was. And when they went and found where he was, the Bible says the star went and it went over the place where Jesus Christ was and the home, and they would come to worship him there. I'd like to look at a phrase here in verse number 2 as the wise men came to Herod. The Bible says in verse number 2, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews?" Where is he? They were looking for the Savior. I think of the shepherds as they were given the announcement in the field that night, and they were startled by the angelic message, and they traveled a few miles to go and see Jesus Christ, which was born. That message was given just to them. But this star that appeared in the east, it appeared for many to see, but only the wise men came. We don't know if there was three. They brought three gifts, so that's why there is the assumption of there being three. We don't know. But when they came to Jerusalem, they said, "Where is he? Where is he?" This Christmas time, I'd like to ask you that question for you in your life. They came to Herod, and he didn't know where he was, didn't know who he was, and he asked around and said, "I want to go worship him." That was not true. He wanted to kill him. You'd find that later on in this passage, how cruel and how wicked. But in your life, I want to ask you this question: where is he? Where is Christ in your life this Christmas? They asked this question and they said, "Where is he?" Why? Because we are come to worship him. We're come to worship him. Where is the Savior in your life today? Where is he? Has he been pushed aside, forgotten about? Or maybe are you even threatened by the thought of Jesus Christ? Many people are. You imagine why people get so upset to even say that you're from a church, or to try to invite them to come or tell them about the Savior. And some people get so angry when you hear about the Savior, they're threatened that Jesus Christ would dethrone them in their own life. But he is the King. He is the Savior. And as the wise men came and they said, "We are come to worship him," where is he in your life today? I want to look at a few things today as the wise men, as they came to see Jesus Christ that day, some things that led them to find the Savior. Number one, we see the sight they had for the star. The sight they had for the star. As you look in here, it says they came from the east, and it says, we have seen a star, and we're come to worship him. Now, I remember as a child looking up in the stars at night, and as an adult as well. I remember as a child looking up at the stars, and many times we'd lay on our trampoline at night, and we were foolish enough to sleep out there and wait to be snacks for the critters that would maybe to travel around. But we'd look up at the stars and how vast and incredible the universe is that God displayed for us to see. We see millions and billions of stars, but there was way more out there than what we can even see. That's the almighty hand of God that created those stars that we see. They weren't looking for just any star, but they were looking for, the Bible says, his star. Look at that here in verse number 2. It says, for we have seen his star in the east. There was something special signifying the star that would lead them to the place where Jesus was. They said, we have seen his star. This star had appeared that anyone could have seen. It was not only just for these men. Anyone could have looked up there, but there were some wise men that they were looking for the Savior. They were looking for the star. Many that are busy in their everyday lives, and even those in Jerusalem, that they had the prophecy, they knew the Savior was there, but they wouldn't even journey to go and see him. Where is he in your life? Do you have a sight for God today? Are you looking for the Savior? We see here, how did the wise men know? Because there was prophecy fulfilled. Several prophecies in this passage alone from the book of Daniel that told the prophecy of the timing of Jesus' birth. From the book of Micah, that he would be born in Bethlehem. Several prophecies given also that he would be sent to Jerusalem and that he would be in Nazareth. All the prophecies fulfilled of the Savior. But do you see it? Do you see the Savior? So many times we get so blinded and so busy in life, don't we? The busy time in life. And Christmas is a fun time, but man, it's a busy time. But as I've said before, I want to say it again. Don't let the things of Christmas take the place of Jesus. Don't let the parties and the cookies. I stopped there for a second. If I eat all the cookies that we have in our house, that's a dangerous thing. I was telling a few people today, I've got a skinny tie on. I'm not sure if my ties are getting skinnier or if I'm getting bigger. I'm not sure which one. Anyway, I don't think I mentioned cookies last week, so I thought I'd bring it again. Thank you for all that brought the cookies. I don't think we could eat any more, though, but we appreciate them. But we will do our best to see if we can get through them. A sight for the star. I don't know where that came from, but we got there. The prophecy of the Savior. And they said, we're looking for him. We're looking for him. They were looking. Their eyes were looking for that star that would point them to Jesus Christ. We get so busy. That's where I was. We get so busy today with all the things of life. Not bad, just busy, that sometimes we think, I don't have time to make that journey. I don't have time to look to Jesus. Would it be sad to say that we would say we don't even have time to spend time in God's Word during the Christmas time? Too busy to spend time in God's Word. Too busy to spend time in prayer. Too busy for some to go to church. Thank you for being here today. Some that are just too busy to spend time looking to Jesus. Looking to Jesus. You look at this world and it is discouraging. It is discouraging to look at where this world is, but when you look to Jesus, there is hope, there is peace, there is light, there is eternal life when you look for the Savior. Jesus Christ came to be the light of this world. Again, you look up in the sky in that dark night and the stars shine and you see the moon shining up there and how beautiful it is. And those stars and that moon, it points to the Savior. Jesus Christ came to be light in a dark world. He is that light, capital L, but are you looking to the Savior? Do you see his light? Are you looking for the Savior? You think of two in Luke chapter 2 that you see Anna and Simeon, these two that were looking and they were waiting for the Savior. They had gotten older in life and they were looking for Jesus Christ. They were waiting for him to come. They believed the promises. They were looking for the Savior. I ask you today, are you looking for the Savior? Are you looking for him? You ever have someone tell you that they saw something that you can't believe is true? Maybe because it actually isn't true. Maybe you've got that Sasquatch person in your family or the UFO person. I'm not sure who it is. Maybe the Santa Claus. There you go. There's your hint on that one as well. But maybe you're looking for something and you think, did I see it? You try to catch it on video. Everything is caught on video today, isn't it? People have got their cameras out everywhere. Watch what you're doing, because you could be on social media somewhere doing whatever that is, right? Looking for somebody, looking for something. How about we be looking for the Savior? This Christmas time, looking for the Savior. You say, I'm looking for presents, and there's a whole lot of people. If you go out in the next few days, maybe the Lord help you. If you're looking for presents and fighting the crowds to go get that last present or the last ham or whatever you're trying to get, people frantically looking for something to make their Christmas whole, maybe be looking for the Savior. Looking for the Savior. Even too many Christians today have the Savior. You have Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit in your heart, God in your life, but you're looking for something else to fill His place. Look to that star. Look to Jesus Christ, the Savior of this world. They would find that star, and as they talked with Herod, and they would find that star, that it would come and it would move over the place where Jesus Christ had laid. And they followed that star, again, hundreds and hundreds of miles, because they wanted to see the Savior. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. May we be looking for Jesus. We know in Scripture that Jesus Christ did come to earth, that Jesus was God, that Jesus is God. But I'm thankful not only we do look back to the Savior, but we look forward to the Savior. Jesus Christ came, but guess what? He's coming again. He's coming again. Maybe today the Lord will come for me. Maybe today my Savior I shall see. Maybe today God will come. Are you looking for Jesus Christ coming? That we are commanded, Christians, to be looking for the Savior. We get so focused looking at the things that we have to go on for today that we don't stop to look up. You ever look at a sunrise or a sunset and think, He could be coming. He could be coming right now. Looking unto Jesus. The Bible says, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God. Looking and hasting. Too many people, too many Christians are going to have to get pulled away from this world because we're just so caught up in the things of today instead of saying, I'm ready to go. We talked to some of our older folks that maybe have lost a loved one that's in heaven. Not lost, we know where they are, but they're in heaven. And they say, I can't wait to go to heaven. Are you looking for Jesus? Are you looking for Jesus? First of all, we see the sight for the star, but then we see the search for the Savior. They saw the star and they followed it and followed it. The journey that they took, and finally they came to Jerusalem, the place where Jesus was. And as they came there, they said, where is He that is born King of the Jews? Where is He? They were looking for someone specific. And they made that journey. Imagine, they went over the mountains. They went through the woods, not to grandmother's house. But they traveled. And imagine the length of the journey. Imagine the obstacles that they faced. How many times they must have thought, we're never going to make it. We're never going to make it. And they thought, let's keep going. Just keep going. We saw the star. Are you sure it was the star? Are you sure it wasn't something else shining in the sky? Are you sure it was it? It's the star. I believe it is. And they took the journey and they traveled. And traveled and traveled. They had the obstacles of their journey, but they had the obstacles of King Herod as they came there. And when you come to see the Savior, there's always going to be someone that's going to try to turn you away from the Savior. There's going to be someone that doesn't believe. There's going to be someone that says you're a fool for following the Savior. But they would come to that place and they would see Him face to face. What a great sight that must have been. Their search they had the obstacles that they had to get through, but their object was Jesus Christ. You get through the obstacles of life. You ever have that Sunday morning and you think, if I could only get to church? You ever have that day? If it's not the car and the kids and something, like everything comes up because the devil's trying to hinder you from getting to the house of God. That morning you try to get to your Bible time and so many obstacles in the way. And you could just stop and say, you know what? It's just too much. Maybe next time. But instead you say, but I've got to get to Jesus. I've got to get to Him today. It might take work. There might be obstacles to get in the way. I can say this. There will be obstacles that are going to get in your way. And you stop and you push them aside. Say, but I'm going to see Jesus. I'm going to spend time with my Savior. That shows their desire. It shows the desire of their heart, where they could have quit so many times. They could have stopped on their journey so many times and say, that's it, we're turning back. We know He's there. They must have believed in Him, or they wouldn't have taken that journey. The desire in their heart shows their love. Shows their love. When you go to spend time with God, it shows your love. God says, my child wanted to spend time with me. My child pushed away the things of life to come and to spend time in my word and in prayer. What a desire of your heart. The Bible says in Proverbs, I love them that love me. And those that seek me early shall find me. He said, I love them that love me. He says, you want to spend time with me. And guess what? I want to spend time with you. The Bible says in Isaiah 55, verse 6, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Seek the Savior while you can. Too many people are saying, well, someday I'll get right with God. Someday I'll get saved. Someday I'll start following the Lord. Guess what? Why not today? Why not today? At some point they had to start their journey, but eventually they got to the Savior. It showed their desire of their heart. They said, I love my Savior. Their desire. It shows their dedication that they made this journey. You know what? If you're going to follow God, there's going to have some dedication in your life, where you're going to have to leave some things behind you. Think about that. They must have left their families. They must have left their jobs. They left everything they knew to make this journey. That was dedication. Dedication. But how many times as a Christian today do we say, I want to get to the Savior, but it's going to cost me what? It's going to cost me. I've got to give some things up. God's calling me to a life of holiness and separation. When you get close to God, that's a holy place. When you get close to God, a place of dedication. You're going to have to leave some things behind to follow the Savior. You're going to have to take up your cross to come to King Herod. They were risking their lives to look for the King of the Jews. But they're willing to risk everything to get to Jesus. What are you willing to risk or to give up to get to the Savior? Too many times, again, we're holding on to the things of this life, and God's having to pull us away to try to get to Him. How about we set those aside and just get to the Savior? We see the star that they followed, the sight for the star. We see the search for the Savior, and then we see the service for the Savior as well. They got to Jesus. Look in verse number 10. It says, and when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Now look at this verse. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. They came to the house, the service. They said, well, I want to see the Savior. You ever maybe go to meet someone and you think, what am I going to do when I see him? You know, I love when you see the little kids where they haven't seen each other in a while and they just start taking off running from like 100 feet away. And they're running and screaming and jumping excited and give each other a big hug, or family they haven't seen in a while. Maybe they thought, what are you going to say when you first see him? What are you going to do? The service that they had, first of all, they came to the place. They came to the place, the Bible says, when they were come into the house. They weren't at the manger now, that they weren't at the stable. They were at a house. They came to the place where Jesus was. Aren't you ever excited to get to the place where Jesus is? I don't know about you, but I look forward to Sunday. The week starts getting along, and I love every service that we have, but there's something about Saturday, and you get to Saturday evening, and you start getting the family ready, and we're getting ready for church tomorrow. You start thinking about, we get to go to the place of worship, the place of God, the place where you get to come and hear the Word of God preached, where God works on lives and speaks to hearts and people getting saved. What a precious place this church is, but what a precious place it is to come to Jesus' side. What an incredible place. I bet as they knocked on the door and they thought, the star's here, I hope I got the right house, I hope it's not the wrong place. You ever done that, knocked on the wrong door and you went, nothing, you know, somewhere up. I don't know, do you know, I don't know, I'm going to keep looking. They came to the place where the star was, and the door opened, and then they see the presence of the Savior. When you come into His presence, The Bible says, when they come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother. They came to see Jesus. After that long journey, they probably thought, maybe we don't see him. They've kept their faith, maybe we don't see him. And the door opened, and then all of a sudden they see this baby there. They see Jesus, and they come into his presence. What a holy place. What a sacred place to come into the presence of God. You say he was just a baby. Yes, he was, but he was the Savior of the world. He is the Savior of the world, and he came to die and to take our place, just a baby. They came into his presence. And when they came into his presence, I want you to see their posture. And it says, when they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, they fell down and worshiped him. Bet they thought, what are we going to do when we see him? And they couldn't help it but fall down and worship him. You ever think about that day where you see your Savior face to face? You think about that first time in heaven where you enter there, and I know the songs sing about seeing other people in heaven, but what about that moment you see your Savior? When you come into his presence, what are we going to do? We're going to fall down at his feet. We're going to worship. We're going to lay our crowns at his feet and thank him for being our Savior. The Bible says, at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Whether you confess his name as Savior on earth or not, you will bow before him someday. You will confess that he is Lord. There is no salvation after you leave this life, though. It'll be too late. Some are going to come before God and say, he is the Savior. He was right, and I didn't believe him. But I think of that as a Christian, getting to bow before him someday. When we come before his presence and you bow before him, say, thank you, Savior. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for saving me. Thank you, God, for working in my life. When you come into his presence, the posture only could be bowing at his feet humbly. And then we see the presentation where they come before him as they bow down. And the Bible says, and when they had opened their treasures. In a few days, kids, you'll get to open your presents, your treasures, unless if you're those sneaky ones trying to sneak and look in between the paper. Looking at my son, we don't have to worry about the 3 and 4 year old in the house looking at their gifts. It's the 15 year old we have to worry about. But the Bible says that they made this journey. They opened the door. They saw the Savior. They bowed down. They worshiped him. And then they opened up their gifts. The gifts that had traveled far and wide, hundreds of miles, they took on the trip and they opened them up. What they were wrapped in, I don't know, something to keep them safe. And they opened up gold and frankincense and myrrh. The gold is presented to a king. It's a picture of royalty for the King of Kings that came to this earth. The frankincense is a perfume. It's a symbol of deity, that he is man, but he is God. The myrrh is an anointing oil signifying of his death, that Jesus Christ would come to die and to be the Savior of this world. And they opened the gifts and they gave them to the Savior. They gave them to Jesus Christ. They said, Savior, we just want to give you something. We want to bring you something. As a Christian, I'm so thankful for all the gifts that God has given to me in my life, more than I deserve. But may we in our lives turn around to the Savior and say, I'd like to give you a gift. To give God your life. To give God your love. To give God your sacrifice. To serve God with your life. You say, I don't have much to give God. Give God what you have. You give God what you have. We give of what we have to God to thank him for what he has given to us. We don't serve God to get salvation. You can't work your way into the favor of God. That's only by grace through faith in Christ alone that he saves us. But when you get saved, doesn't that make you want to live for him? Doesn't that make you want to give something to him, to serve him? See, it's not, Lord, what do I have to do for you? It's, Lord, what do I get to do for you? Lord, how can I serve you today? Master, what can I do for you? Thank you for saving me. And we see the presentation that they gave to him, the service as they bowed before the Savior. Where is he in your life? Where is the Savior? Maybe you don't know Christ as your Savior. Maybe you don't know for sure if you died today that you'll go to heaven. You don't know if you'd be in heaven or hell. You just don't know. You know that Jesus Christ came to be the Savior of the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, aren't you thankful for that whosoever? Yes. Meaning anyone. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That Jesus Christ came to bring salvation, but you must put your faith in him. He is the gift of salvation to this world, but that gift must be received. If you don't receive and accept Jesus Christ into your heart, forgiveness of your sins, only way to heaven, not working your way there, but receiving him by faith, that is salvation. In one moment in your life, trusting in Jesus Christ as your Savior. Where is he? Do you know him as your Savior? For those that know that you're saved today, where is he in your life? You see, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, but I've just been too busy for God lately. May we never be too busy for God. May there never be too many things in our life. May we put God first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. He should get first place. Why? Because he is the King. Amen. Where is he this Christmas season in your life? Heads bowed and eyes closed. Do you know him today?